Today's scripture reading is Luke 14, verses 12 through 24. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I cannot come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God."
We are continuing Pastor Jonathan's sermon series from last week in Luke. And in Luke, we see the story is set in a Jewish home, and it's supper time. So let's take a look at the stage of what we have here in terms of situation and audience for Jesus. Jesus is recounting a story of a certain man who wants to host a grand banquet in his home. He discovers that people react to his invitation in different ways. The whole discourse from Jesus starts back in verse 1 in chapter. There in the chapter, the Bible says that it is the Jewish Sabbath. Jesus and others are invited to the house of the Pharisees. This man seems to be a prominent Pharisee. What is a Pharisee? A Pharisee was a very religious Jew in the time of Christ. Pharisees tried very hard to obey every part of the law of Moses, as well as the oral traditions would tell them how to interpret the law of Moses. Many of them sincerely tried to be holy. Like the religious zealots today, some of the Pharisees worried about keeping every little rule rather than caring about people. Even some of the Jewish apostles initially thought this way. But there were faithful Pharisees, including Paul the apostle, who accepted Christ's teaching and changed his heart to become a disciple of Christ. What did Jesus think of the Pharisees? Well, here are a few quotes to help us understand. "Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint and cumin and dill, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Jesus is intolerant of the hypocrisy and the indifference toward common people that are shown by the religious leaders and teachers. Therefore, this meal with the Pharisees is not a place of relaxed conversation, but of a watchful sharpness. The tension derives from the text that says that he, Jesus, was being carefully watched. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus will have the same type of situation again and again. But the clash of ideas was prophesied in the Bible. The verses in Isaiah affirm Jesus' God-centered values do not accept man's self-centered values. Christ's view is radical. The prophet Isaiah compares our mind to God's mind. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Jesus' clash is unavoidable as a heated argument of words continues with judging, condescending, and envious Pharisees. In addition, these doers of the law criticize Christ, who, because he welcomes sinners, and worse, tax collectors. And then Jesus eats with them at the same table. In the following chapters, Luke continues this debate and proclamation process. In today's text, therefore, the story says that a certain man prepared a great banquet and sent out his notices. He told the servants to tell those who received the invitations, "All is ready, please come." Some did not come. The host reacted. Let us tell the certain man who is the host may be interpreted as a personification of God. Who would give such a banquet? Who would God be to give such a banquet? What is his motive? For God, the motive is always love. But the guests who are welcomed are only those who accept the invitation. It is an invitation and a banquet they do not have to pay for. The host, God, pays all, especially the poor. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." The Bible says that the guests are to be invited because the host embraces the Christ-like viewpoint of love, mercy, and humility. The guests who accept are chosen because of God's unconditional love. Not their works, riches, reputation, or rank in the world society. Since love is the prime motive for the host, let's briefly remind ourselves of God's love. God is not lovable, he is love, the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the great love chapters of the Bible. Let's read a few things here, see what happens. Help us understand what God means. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. For me, I especially feel that God's love is kind. Mark Twain is said to have quoted, "Kindness is a language. which the deaf can hear and the blind can read. We know that we're all equally loved by God because he sacrificed his son at the cross to prove it. In history of mankind, the greatest and purest act of all love was Jesus Christ dying at the cross for us. That is the love that we should think. Christ, the cross, and him crucified. On the worldly side of things, a banquet is eating and drinking. It is probably at a rich man's house who can afford to be extravagant with his banquet. In addition, the host in the story could not get enough people in the house, so the abundance of the banquet would be extraordinary. Just as the host in the story, God has surpassing wealth to share with all that are invited. All is given through Christ. Nothing is held back. No one can outgive God. There is an opposite, darker view of this banquet story. There were people who rejected the invitation. They did not offer a courteous, prompt response or no thank you. They did not communicate at all. From the time the host sent out the invitations to the time the banquet was ready, the Bible does not say whether the host received any replies for accepting or declining the invitation. The first invited people seemed indifferent or rude toward the gracious invitation. The Bible's calls or responses, excuses. I have just bought a field. I must go see it. I have just bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm on my way to see it and to test them. Yet another said, I just got married. I cannot come. This set of excuses are absurd. I have just bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Why didn't you try them out before you bought them? I've just bought a field, and I must go see it. Why didn't you go see it first before you bought it? What's Christ doing here? You know? And a bride. I got married. I cannot come. You think she would like to come to a giant party? Absolutely. So everything here is a little strange with Jesus as he's talking to the Pharisees. The analogy to Christ is personal and disappointing. We see how Christ might feel when he is rejected, worse yet, dismissed. For us today, God's servant has stood at the door and invited us to the house of the Lord. When we first see these guests decline the invitation to the banquet, the host seeks others and extends invitation to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Furthermore, for the insult, the host is justly angered. His abused mercy, will turn into anger. None of them who are invited will taste the supper. The invitation will never be extended again. One lesson offered, it is wise to accept the personal greeting of God when he extends it to us. There is only one invitation given by one servant in one gospel, in one Bible, to each one of us. Just to prove a point, let's quickly look at other examples in the Bible. There are people in the Bible who rejected God's grace and blessing, which is similar to an invitation to the kingdom. These actions have unforeseen consequences. The Old Testament story of Jacob and Esau. Esau, the firstborn of Isaac, sells his birthright to his manipulating brother and mama's boy, Jacob, for one meal of bread and stew. What happened? We hear of him and his descendants no more, much beyond that point. Like guests that declined the host's invitation, Esau despises birthright as a free gift. The consequences were severe. Likewise, there is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Matthew tells the story saying, "The kingdom of God is like 10 virgins who went up with their lamps to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 foolish virgins took no extra oil for their lamps. The 5 wise virgins took in their jars for their lamps to refill when their lamps ran out of oil." To make this story short, before the bridegroom comes, the foolish virgins' lamps use up their oil, and they did not bring extra oil to fill them. While the foolish virgins go to buy more oil, the bridegroom comes in the meantime. The wise virgins, with lamps still lit and are still waiting there, are the only ones who go into the wedding banquet with the bridegroom and the door is shut behind them, not to open for anyone else. The door remains shut even though the foolish virgins say, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." God is love. God is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. His justice must decisively and absolutely deal with sin and our sin nature. The lesson is that God instructs us to have a sense of urgency. You do not tell God what your terms are for him. When God invites, he needs a decision from you right now. If you are a procrastinator or reject or delay your response, the consequences could be severe. Another lesson from God's teaching is humility. We learn that humility is a path to promotion in the kingdom of God, both now and in the future. One last observation about our host and banquet shows that it foreshadows the future of Christ and his second coming in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Jesus is presented as the Lamb of God with the host of the final banquet in heaven. At that time, we faithful are face to face with him, and we'll be celebrating an unending joy in the everlasting arms of Jesus. In closing, let's summarize the teaching from other similar passages in the Bible. In Timothy, "This is good and pleases God, our Father, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth." Revelation, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great.' Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Revelation, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." At last, Psalm 27, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this I only do," "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." The absolute truth and essential teaching of Jesus' story today can be reduced to 2 points. No woman or man can enter the kingdom of God without the personal invitation from God. Secondly, no man or woman can remain outside the kingdom of God but by his or her own personal choice. Amen. Let us pray. The Bible says that upon hearing the word of the Lord, we are to act on it. If there is anyone here that has been moved by scriptures today, we ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside of her or him and begin to walk with them. God, thank you for your Bible. We know that there will be a banquet and a place for all of us in heaven. We have the assurance of eternal life. We trust your words when you say, and if we go to and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and you also may be where I am. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.